Check 1 2 1 2, bitch. What up? What the fuck is up, my people?
What up?
This is episode 300!
300!
Of the most consistent, yes, we all stay consistent because we still here. We didn't stop. We're still going.
Give me a hell, yeah!
You're damn right. Of the Illogical Sense podcast. This is your boy, Busby.
And over here, it's your boy, JC. No.
How the fuck you doing, good sir?
Hanging in there, chilling.
I feel it. Same here.
It's the last month of paternity leave.
Oh shit! Already?
I know.
Damn, it's like summer vacation already over with.
Exactly.
So you got your back to school. You got your back to school clothes ready and shit.
Yeah, it sucks, man. It really does suck.
This
is some bullshit.
This is some bullshit. You know, I remember back in the day, I went to Burlington and got all my back to school clothes and shit, and you got to get new binders. And you know, I mean, technically, you're not going back to school, you're going back to work, but still, same shit.
Right.
You know, got to get the binders, got to get the books. You got to look fresh going into the new school year and shit. Oh, those are the times.
Yeah, no, everything went by quick. My nephew's already 1 year old now. That's crazy. Time went by quick. What else went down? Giannis and I watched our first pay-per-view, or he watched his first boxing pay-per-view when we watched Bud Crawford go against Errol Spence.
Yeah, boy,
did that not go as expected.
And Crawford got Eminem walked him out, and that was all the luck he needed.
Listen, it is time stamped on what used to be Twitter, or I don't give a damn what it's called.
It's still Twitter to me. Look, I haven't updated it, but yeah. Look,
Jack called it Twitter, so I'm going to call it Twitter. Mm-hmm. I time stamped it, and when Errol Spence brought out Big 30, I was confused because I didn't realize it was Big 30. And then it got quiet, and Bud came out, and you heard the keys and realized that it was M. And I said, yeah, this fight is over.
And the funniest part about it is how M didn't even rap the lyrics. He just shouted his name out and walked with him. And I was like, well, how come he didn't rap Lose Yourself? I was like, that's extra, baby.
Yeah, no, he didn't pay that invoice.
I like you, but you got to pay me more to rap, baby.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah, clear that invoice, player.
Yeah, I like you. I do like you. I'll walk with you, but I ain't rapping this damn song. I'm sick of this fucking song.
that song is still proof that, boy, you could do anything and everything you want to do when you hear that song. Because, boy, was Errol Spence not have a chance to do any bobbing and weaving when it came to anything that Crawford was doing to him.
He was God fucking almighty. Him up, dog. I tweeted out or X'd out, however you want to say it now. I X'd out. That's what we got to say now. Not tweeted. We X'd out.
I X'd him out.
I X'd him out. Nah, I tweeted out. Nah, dog, stop this fucking fight. And it just, because he kept knocking his ass down. It was just like, meek, 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 meek. He even put his hands up. He's throwing his down.
Yeah, nah, it was like his face was attracted to the glove. That was a crazy thing, too.
Was this fight supposed to be like equally matched? Because I'm not in the boxing like that. So like,
oh, yeah. No, they were both undefeated.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't even like Errol Spence was, you know, something like 11-0. Like Crawford, I think, was 35 or 36-0, somewhere in that range. And Errol Spence was around 28 or 29-0. So it was, you know, this was around something. I think they said something like somewhere. It was a long time in the making, to say the least.
Well, damn, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, sure. But I just know when there's a big boxing match, I just know my boys would hit me up, like when I'm at work, my coworkers like, hey, you go watch the fight tonight? I'm like, there's a fight tonight. No, sure, I guess. And then when everyone's talking about it, shit, how much was it? Or did you watch it the other ways?
All I can say is that my son and I enjoyed a great fight.
Okay. Okay, that's all I'm asking. The only boxing match that was worth the money was Mayweather and Pacquiao. That one was worth the money because that was literally an event and that was like a long time coming. That was like $100, but it was worth it.
I enjoyed that fight too.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah, man. But other than that, I ain't paying no $100 to watch that shit and see something get knocked the fuck out in less than 20 seconds. Or just,
Well, they were talking about rematch, and Errol Spence, he was, pray for that brother. Oof. He was talking like a mumble rapper.
He really was. That was sad to watch. Yeah. There was like a UFC match, too, that you probably didn't see, or you probably heard about it. I literally turned it on right when old boy got black masked. And when I say black mass, he got literally kicked to his fucking head and dropped.
Yeah.
Literally. I was just like, God damn.
Yeah, I saw the replay of it afterwards.
I saw it live. That was nuts. I literally when I turned it on, that's when old boy kicked him. Literally right. He literally kicked him right like 2 seconds after I turned it on. That was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, man, my weekend has been, well, I've been cool. Just working, surviving, keeping up with all the shit going on in the world and shit, and reporting back to JC while he's being dad of the year and shit.
Did you bring any of the aliens?
They're already here. I watch Secret Invasion. They're already here. Like Strolls. Have you been watching it or not?
I finished the second episode. I was trying to get to a point where I could just binge everything all at once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I get reminded every single time
you can't do that no more
with a child.
With a child,
you can binge, but you're only going to be able to binge old school stuff. You can't really binge the new stuff.
Yeah, a child. That's how I say child now. Thanks to Pusher. you are with a child.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, he's great. It's just,
Yeah.
You gotta give him attention. You gotta talk with him. And in the middle of talking with him, you'll look up and you'll be like, why is Samuel Jackson making out with an
amphibian?
What the hell did I just miss? And then you look at your watch and like, oh, I haven't been paying attention for 25 minutes. Never mind. It's me. I'm the problem.
It's me. I'm the problem. Yeah, Secret Invasion. Before we get into the aliens, Secret Invasion. I liked it.
Oh, I've liked the first the two episodes in. I like it. It's quality.
Have you heard about the? Have you? So you haven't been online, so you haven't heard about the ending. I'm not going to spoil it, but
thank you.
That's all I'm going to say. It's what I liked it, but then the more I sat with it and watched the reviews for it and how people really broke shit down, I'm like, yeah, I can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be a point when you get to it, and you're going to be like, well, that was a choice. And that's what I've been saying a lot lately. I've been saying, well, that's a choice. Like, old boy coming out to the fucking Congress and saying, yeah, aliens exist. Like, for real, for real.
Yeah, and the thing was, he said it like, we all don't know that. Like, it was just wasn't it just a few years ago? Actually, it was during the damn pandemic when people were going to Area 51, right?
We talked about it on the pod.
Yeah,
they went to Area 51 and did the whole running shit. Yeah, I know that.
Yeah.
I mean, with all those fucking talks about the fucking, all them sightings of the UFOs throughout decades and shit like that, and all these stories about people that got abducted, all them fucking documentaries that came out, of course they're fucking real. Duh.
Man, I just don't understand that. The ideology that Earth is the one place where there's life forms when you got nothing but space. There's space and opportunity.
There is.
Figuratively space. And literally, space and opportunity.
Space and opportunity. Oh shit! Sound like a fucking gangster that shows up. Yeah. This is takes an opportunity. Yeah, I mean that's.
Now, can you imagine alien getting up the ship though? What do you think we found, nigga? Space and opportunity.
No, the alien. I think all the aliens have visited Earth and just look and just fly over and be like, "Whoa, shot the ghetto," and fly away.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know.
You think some of them went to the BET Awards and got the fuck up out of here?
they probably turn into humans and they just walk around and just look at us like, why would we want to take over this shit? Like, why? What's the point? Nah, we gonna mind our business. I'm gonna go back to my planet.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were what people call the industry plants. Every industry plant is actually probably the alien.
Seriously, that's a ding.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is, but whatever. Like, it's funny. As soon as they announced it, everyone was like, so? It just went about their business.
Real talk. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's so used to it. Everybody understands the, you know, it's happened so many times and it's been brought up so many times in the past. It's for real, like, okay.
What do you want us to do about it? It's just, unless some Independence Day shit happens, God forbid, then right. Yeah, hit us up. But until then, I don't know who wants to do with this information.
Yeah.
Unless it's some Mars attack or Independence Day situation, which would scare the shit out of me because there ain't shit we gonna do about it, then whatever. So, yeah. What I do know, well, go on, what were you about to say?
Oh, no, well, I was gonna say, you know. They were perfect timing because them aliens brought us Utopia.
Right. And I've been waiting, baby.
Travis Scott.
It was 1 week shy of being 5 years exactly to the date.
When the Astro World dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That was... Yeah. What's your thoughts on the album?
What a listening experience.
That was an audio experience. I had to go out and buy new headphones because my headphones were going out, my AirPods were going out, and I'm like, oh no. I went out and got the fucking Beats Buds and shit like that, and I put the noise canceling away. I had to make sure everyone was asleep, and I just was engulfed in the Utopia.
Give me a hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Album was amazing. It was literally an audio. I knew after Astroworld, I'm like, okay, this guy is the son of Kanye from an artistic standpoint. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now, as soon as I hit play and I heard, "We are the game." And I was like, interesting. And then it was that boom bap shit, and I was like, okay, we're here.
All right, we're here. Yeah, came back with a vengeance. It reminded me of Dark Fantasy, like the beat for Dark Fantasy playing. I'm like, oh, we here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That shit. What do you think about Martin Jam? What's your thoughts on that record?
First time I played it, it was... And here's the funny thing. So throughout the entire week, I only played it twice. I played it opening night, and then I played it right before we recorded, just so as I could go back and... collect all my notes. So I've only played it twice.
Okay.
And both times it's still been a fantastic listening experience.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time with Modern Jam, it wasn't that I didn't like it. It was just, again, I'm vibing with it. You're just trying to catch yourself. What am I listening to?
Yeah.
The first one's like, okay, I'm still bopping with it. This time around though, Giannis was in his swing.
Yeah.
Oh man, I'm full-fledged aerobics around him. I'm moving. I'm moving.
Yeah. No, I love that damn record. That everyone hated that record. I was like, no, I love this damn record.
Oh yeah, I like that one. My eyes was interesting to me because at first I was like, wow, this is way too slow.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sampha came on and I was like, okay. And then the beat picked up and I was like, damn it, Travis, let me shut the fuck up. Let me shut up. Why am I questioning you?
And then God's Country, I like that one. He did a video for that.
Yeah.
And then I'm gonna skip over the Drake track. That's gonna be like a whole conversation. Fiend.
Yeah, I really don't care for Playboi Carti, but boy,
I love his features. That's the only thing. Stay on features, and you good.
Yeah,
this one surprised me. Echoes with Beyonce. How do you say that record? Del Resto. Yeah, with Beyonce. I was like, wow, Beyonce gave Travis Scott a fucking feature. I mean, Houston people have to look out for each other, so good for her.
Yeah, that one for sure is going to be, you're going to hear that one. You're definitely going to hear that one.
Now, what do you call your three-man weave, right? That's what you call it?
Yeah, three-man weave.
My three-man weave is I Know, Topia Twins, and Circus Maximus. Those three tracks?
Yes.
Mwah, those were my shits right there.
Like, I have never heard of Rob 49 before this project. And that's one of the things I'm going to give Travis Scott. Travis Scott is really good for putting me on a new artist every single project.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I have not heard of Rob 49, but as soon as he came on, I was like, oh, I need to go do some research. It's the same way Don Toliver came on Astroworld. It was like, oh, yeah, let me go do some research. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here comes 21 Savage, the same way in the cadence I do with Giannis. And I go, Yanni Yan, 21.
Yeah, 21 Savage was sprinkled like crack throughout this whole album. Yeah. And what's it called? What's another one I really liked? Love with Kid Cudi. Oh, no, Lost Forever with...
Very surprised with that.
Yeah. And Alchemist pretty much produced that track. So I was like, oh, wow. So the way it flipped to the Alchemist beat for West Side Gun to pop up, I'm like, okay. And Telekinesis featuring SZA and Feature, that was just mwah.
That deserves its own round of applause. The album itself is going to get a round of applause when you finish talking about it, but that Telekinesis deserves its own round of applause. Man, you talk about, look, Future, just I know you can take your time because you're one, you are him, but please hurry up. Please. Please hurry up.
And, you know, of course, Till Further Notice was great. Pretty much this album was just great. This was great, man. Everyone said this sounded like Yeezus or whatever. You don't want to know why it sounded like Yeezus? Because this is Travis's sound.
Yeah, it solidified what I've been saying for a decade now, which is, you know, that was his initiation into the industry. In some cases, his sacrifice. It's not to take away anything from Kanye and his greatness, but, you know, when Travis came on, and like you were saying, when you made the comparison saying, you know, oh, that's his son. You know, in industry terms, the apprentice and mentor, that relationship. Yeah, you can tell that was Travis's sound all over Yeezus.
Mm-hmm.
And now that Astroworld was this magnificent project and it made it was a moment in hip hop. It was a commercial moment in hip hop. Now he had the footing and the right of, and the passage to go ahead, and now he could say, okay, now that I did my commercial album, now I could go do this album that I want to go do and go back to. What he said was, I'm going to go back to the Al Ferrell sound, and we're going to re-tap into that. And boy, did he do that incredibly. Because you got to remember, too, when Al Ferrell came out, that was, what, 2012-ish,
yeah.
So that's, that Al Ferrell sound is, that's right around Yeezus, and that's right around Cruel Summer.
Mm-hmm. Now, the funny thing about all this is someone actually did their research. I guess they talked to a whole bunch of leakers and shit like that. Pretty much a majority of this album are Donda leftovers, are tracks that he worked with Kanye. That God's Country was supposed to be on Donda. Like, a lot of these records were supposed to be on Donda or Donda 2. And Travis just kept them all and made it for you and kept it for Utopia.
So I looked it up. I looked it up, and I know what you're talking about. Allegedly, some of those aren't officially confirmed. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, you take the list for what it is. And if it is true, if it is true, it is true. But because it's not confirmed, you know, you go out for what it is. But what is it? I have the official production list right here. So officially, Thank God and Telekinesis are the two projects officially that Kanye co-produced.
And God's Country.
Yeah,
because I remember that was supposed to be the title of, I guess, is Jesus is King follow-up. It was going to be called God's Country. I remember that distinctly.
Right.
But Kanye's fingerprints are literally all over this damn album. Like, from Mike Dean to his engineers, all that shit. Like, it's all over this album.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, let's get to the coup de grace of this whole shit. The one track that everybody's talking about is Meltdown featuring Arbery. Now, what was your take on this record?
He was spitting. He was rapping.
Yeah, he was. He really was spitting. It was a good record. He's rapping like he was a fucking villain and a fucking, what's it called? Goon and shit. And I was like, all right, Arbery. But the main reason why everyone's talking about this is on that track, Drake is still clearly sending subliminals to Pusha T and I guess Pharrell Williams for whatever. Well, I was going to say for reasons, saying that he melted the fucking, what did he say? That he melted the fucking chains that he did and shit like that. And he's still said pretty much just talking shit, still sending shots. It was a clear shot. And I was just like, okay. And at first I was just like, I laughed and I was just like, wow, he's still not letting this shit go. And at first I really loved Drake's verse. I really did love it at first. I laughed, but I still loved it. But the more I kept listening to it, I was like, all right, man, he needs to get over this fucking shit now. Like, honestly, he needs to get the fuck over this shit. It's been 5 years. It's kind of boring now, but
yeah. I mean, I'm not going to tell anybody what to and not get over. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I hear you.
You know, I mean, when you praise the extent of somebody's diss record, and when we analyze to the extent of what Push said in that record. Mm-hmm. Again, there were layers to what was said. So how do you, you know, from Drake's perspective, how do you let that go?
Honestly, you can't let it go.
Right. But from
that viewpoint, it's just like, wow, it's been 5 years and he still cannot let that shit go. Do I blame him? Hell no. But it's like, your fucking industry poppy told you to shut up.
But the thing of it is too, it's one of those things where, if you think about it, the hip hop fan wins either way, because when he doesn't let it go, you still get that venomous version of him, which is when he's at his best.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side of it, it just shows that when you study and you do your homework in these types of diss records, this is what inspires and it brings out. So you still, this again, it's, I want to hear like, get over it, but this is what you look for when you bring, you know, you do your due diligence. Yeah. You get this kind of reaction 5 years later and you're getting hardcore. You're getting good raps 5 years later as a result. Still,
this nigga really went out the way and bought Pharrell's Neptune's jewelry and melted it and bragged about it. And I was just like, yeah, you got him there.
Petty and disrespectful again to hip hop. It's like, damn, that sucks. But hey, man, in the heat of war, I get it. I get it. I do understand. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, nigga, I bought you these. See these chains that you put up for auction? Yeah, I bought them and I melted them. Pharrell's like, okay. Pharrell's like, okay.
And then Pharrell's probably just sitting there like, damn, man, that's not what I meant when I said cheat on your man, Ma. That's how you get a his head.
And then, like, I've been Drake fans were just going like, oh, well, he's going at Pharrell. Why is it, people, you want to know why he's going at Pharrell? Because Pharrell played that Clips record where Pusha was going right at Drake. I'm like, he was going at Jim Jones. Like, clearly, he was going straight at Jim Jones. He wasn't even thinking about Drake. What?
Okay. I mean, but, you know, again, it's all about positioning. And again, mm-hmm. when in terms of this feud with Push and Drake, you're talking about two rappers that it's more than just a microphone. You're talking about two artists that are very calculated and solidified. And it's a situation of, whoever you're standing next to can get it too. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, look at the record. Drake wasn't the only one that caught it. Drake's mom caught it and 40 caught it.
And so his dad caught it. Everyone caught it.
Yeah. Right. So why would it, you know, again, I like it. Nah, I do like it.
For me, it's hilarious. It's just funny. I don't know if you've heard about this, but there is an, I don't know who's doing these bots, but on Twitter,
it's nasty work.
You seen it?
Yeah, it's nasty.
The anti Pusha T bots. If you mention Pusha T in any way capacity or say certain words, you would get bombarded with Pusha T anti Pusha T bots talking about how he made love to a salamander or some shit. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. Amphibian and shit.
Yeah. And
somebody did this.
And somebody must have paid a lot of money, because that cost a lot of money to do. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if a Drake fan did that shit, or Drake himself, because he's petty like that. So,
well, Drake also bought the Tupac ring for $1 million.
I was about to bring that up. $1.5 million or some shit. It was
He went on a light shopping spree.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. You want to be like, you want to ride around like you Pac? Okay.
Yeah, I guess Kanye was right.
That's still the most funniest tweet out of all. He has a lot of funny tweets, but that one was just this nigga riding around like he Pac.
What makes it so funny is that it's so applicable to so many things too. That's what makes it so hilarious.
It really is. He riding around like he Pac. Like, how dare you?
I could use it with my son. I double entendred it the other day too. Like in one instance, my son, you know, when he gets fussy and he wants to eat, he don't want to go to sleep. I was like, man, he out here running around like he Pac. And then on the flip side, for all the parents out there who know this, when you try to clip a newborn's nails, and you know, you obviously can't do it to the degree that you need to do it when they're awake. Mm-hmm. So you try to do it when they're asleep, especially when they're in your arms. There's something about a newborn that knows when you got clippers in your hands, because as soon as you go in for the nail, they reach up like Raheem and Juice after Bishop shot him, and then they grab your arm and they like catches you off. It's like, oh shit.
And then he wipes the hand off of his shirt like, yeah, do it. And I remember that. Yeah. Bishop was like, fuck, get off me. Cooties. That's what he looked like. What Pac looked like? He's like, ew, cooties. Oh shit, man. But yeah, since we've been gone. Yeah.
No, overall, man, Utopia.
Utopia delivered. Now, when he goes on tour, I will most likely go on there.
I'm trying to be there. I am trying to be there.
Yeah, I missed Astroworld, but I know this is gonna be an experience. That's what that whole album is. And also, one other thing before we move on. Niggas are still trying to get at Travis because he didn't make a heartfelt track talking about the tragedy that happened at the Astroworld Festival. Like, Act tried to be on there. Act tried to say some shit. And I'm going like, are you serious? It's Travis fucking Scott.
Okay, so Utopia just solidifies that Travis for sure top five of this generation now, correct?
Most likely.
Okay, for sure. For sure.
You think for sure.
But yeah, because so there's no reason to get into that.
Oh, okay.
it's not your fault. I'm not cutting you off because you did anything wrong. It's just you're trying to bring an argument from idiots into the fold. And it's like, it's not what the artistry is about. We're talking about Utopia.
And niggas are saying, niggas are going like, Travis ain't really rapping about anything. And da-da-da-da-da, like, there's no substance to what he said. I'm like, he's been like this for years.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyway,
we turn Travis Scott on for sounds. Occasionally you'll get a bar or two where it's like, ooh, that sounded nice, but... It's about sounds.
He's been like this for how many years since he first dropped? And you are just now figuring this out. All right.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, other music has dropped.
I did find time to go and listen to Post Malone's new album, Austin.
How was that?
Surprisingly, so there's a few takeaways from this. Okay. This is his first of five albums that it's listed as pop.
Oh,
wow. His previous four albums were listed as hip hop and rap. So this is the first one that's listed as pop.
Okay.
This is his first album since he had his daughter in May. which I thought was pretty interesting and cool, because I was like, oh, hey, we had kids in the same month. That's pretty dope.
Okay.
This is titled after his name, his first name being Austin. So this is obviously a more personable album.
Hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
And he made a statement saying that he played guitar on every single song on this album. There's a line in the opening track, Don't Understand, where you can tell this is going to be more personal album, where he says, I don't understand how you like me so much because I don't like myself. And so, you know, it was more acoustic. So you're like, okay, so on one hand, you're preparing yourself like, okay, is this going to be more slower tuned? Is it going to be, you know, what's going on? But then as it goes on, you're like, oh, this isn't a rock album. This is a full-fledged pop album. These are some catchy hooks. Like, this is okay. And I got to say, bro, there was a wave of tracks from, like, Nova Candy, Morning, Too Cool to Die, and Sign Me Up. It was just like, oh, when does he go on tour? Because I actually want to see this. And then I looked and I was like, oh, shit, he's going to be here in 2 weeks. That's a little too soon. I don't think I can make that happen. I was hoping he was going to be here in like December or something. Like, damn.
I'll see you on a stream, buddy.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to look for a stream. But there was one song in particular, Socialite. He had a line in there where he said, I call her Shrek because she walk around with a donkey. And I was like, that's that kind of literature that I live for, man. Like Shakespeare wishes. But the reason why I pointed Socialite out is because, again, I'm thinking of what this music is going to do when he goes on tour or while he's on tour. Bro, the first 90 seconds is just acoustic guitar and then the drums kick in.
We got your and drums.
Again, this isn't a rock album as much as it is, you know, think of, we all know Post Malone is good for hooks and he's good for songwriting and structure. So think of him in his pop bag. And a song is 90 seconds acoustic, then them drums kick in, and by that time, he's getting ready to hit the bridge. Yeah. And so it was fun. I think it may have been 4, maybe 5 songs a little too long. I don't want to say it gets repetitive, but, you know, just some things it was kind of like, oh, maybe this doesn't really fit in with the vibe. But overall, man, it's just... Boy, some of those songs were just really, really like infectious. Where it was like, damn, this is a feel good vibe. Like I fuck with this. This is dope.
Yeah, that's what fatherhood does. Make you feel good.
Yeah, nah. So shout out to Post Malone and Austin, like for that being his first album outside of the what he would consider hip hop and rap, and being that pop album. Yeah, it was dope. I liked it. I like it for what it was.
Now before Travis Scott dropped in Post Malone, Nasty Nas came back with Hit-Boy. They dropped the sequel to Magic. Magic 2!
I will say this. It's no disrespect to Nas in particular. I'm doing something, you know, with my listening palate in general, which is if I'm not really feeling the original, I'm just not going to go to the sequel.
That makes
so
sense.
So I skipped it. And that's not even listening in general. That's more so like that's entertainment, period. So
you'll get to it when you get to it. I hear you.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, this album is all I've been listening to. I'm not saying it's up to the same par as the first one, but he got 50 Cent on Office Hours, and 50 was rapping pretty well. I mean, all right. Fucking Motion is fucking just fire. And he has a one song called Urban Magic Johnson, which is what I think you would probably like, because, you know, Lakers and shit. But he has a three-man weave on here, again, another three-man weave. I'm using your shit now. And it's track 8, When What This All Really Means, track 9, Slow It Down, and track 10, Pistols on Your Album Cover. I don't know what is possessing Nas right now with Hit-Boy. This is their fifth project together in, like, what, 2 or 3 years?
It started in 2018?
No, 2020. Hit-Boy and Nas.
I thought it was 2018.
Nah, it came out during the pandemic. King's Disease 1 came out during the pandemic.
No, you're right. The mishap with Kanye was 2018.
Yeah, I'm talking about Hit-Boy. King's Disease came out in 2020. King's Disease 2 came out in 2000, 2021, and then Magic came out the same year in 2021. Yeah. Then King's Disease 3 came out last year, and now this year it's Magic 2. And he said on the first track on Abracadabra, he said on the first track, we halfway done with the first one, with the next one. Hmm. Like, bruh, what is possessing this man?
Hit-Boy.
I know it's Hit-Boy, but goddamn. And the way he's rapping on here is just like, he hasn't stopped. It's like he's just like a man possessed. Just, oh man, I can't say enough good things about this album. I love this. I love this damn album. It's all I've been listening to until Utopia dropped. Now I'm listening to that. So it's crack and cocaine. Shit. And another artist, actually, I had my eye on. I haven't like really listened to, like I had my eye on him, but I didn't really listen to like a full project. And actually Martin kind of put me on to him. But his name is That Mexican OT. I don't know if you heard of him.
From Houston, right?
Yes, he's from Houston. He dropped a project called Lone Star Luchador, and yeah. His track Johnny Dang has gotten viral because he has Paul Wall on there.
Yep.
And this Mexican could rap, and I knew exactly when I first heard him for the first time. I knew exactly who he sounded like. And oh, yeah. Martin sent me this. Like, yo, listen to this, and when you listen to it, let me know who he sounds like. I'm like, oh, I know who it is.
Yeah, he's Hispanic, the baby.
Yeah. And these are whenever you get a chance, listen to that album, because I listened to it last night, and it was a good listen, a really good listen. And yeah, that album, man, I think that's about it for now. Drake's about to drop, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, that was the two projects I got through. I was again, Utopia was two spins, Post Malone was one, but they were good enough. They were good. I enjoyed it.
What's funny about Utopia is that same day the album dropped, I went to the movies to go see. Where did I go see? I went to go see Talk to Me, which was a great movie, great horror movie. And when I left the theater, I was walking around and I looked around and I saw hella women with their dudes come in, dressed up in all pink, going to see Barbie. Then I see, like, they're walking into the theater, like, going to the theater. Then I see a group of people just come out for Oppenheimer, and they just look, like, dazed, like they just saw some shit. And then when I'm at the door, I see a huge group of teenagers looking like punk rockers with their hair all long and wearing all black and shit, and they're all in line getting, like, T-shirts. And I look at the T-shirts, they walk past me, and it's the fucking movie that came out for Travis Scott, the Utopia movie, okay, whatever, because he released a movie the day the album came out. And I look at that shit, and
yeah, I said, Circus Maximus.
Circus Maximus, yeah. And it was a long-ass line. And I'm telling you, the theaters were packed. And I'm looking around, and I was like, cinema's back, baby.
Give me a hell yeah.
Strike or not, cinema's back, baby. Shit. Oh, man. You find any time to watch any of those movies?
Hell no.
I did. I saw both of them.
How were they?
Oppenheimer is 3 hours long, so you better find some parts of your day. And I would say wait for it, but it's a theater experience, but you got a baby, so just wait for it to go on streaming whenever it comes out. But, it's a great album. It was a great album. Chris Nolan, he showed his ass on that shit.
Okay.
Yeah, it was visually a history lesson. And Edgar was next to me, and he said, oh, yeah, just to let you know, guy, when the bomb goes off, it's going to be loud. What the fuck you mean it's going to be loud? Like, you literally going to feel it.
Yeah, I read the interview. I know that much.
Yeah, he wasn't lying. That sound system, when you heard the boom, I was like, God damn.
What kind of shit is that?
Yeah, this is going to get a whole shitload of Oscars. I can tell you that right now, but that was good. Then I saw Barbie, and it was funnier than I expected it to be. And I can see why like those alpha male white right ring MAGA people don't like it, because it really is kind of anti-man, kind of, but not really. And Lizzo had a song in there, and I was like, oh shit, Lizzo is singing the theme song for this.
Well, before we get to her real quick, I want to give a shout out to Gucci. Shout out to Gucci, man, because he took advantage of all that promo from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
He took advantage of Oppenheimer and dropped a Whoppenheimer.
Yeah, that was funny.
Then he took advantage of Barbie and dropped a Burby. He had fans drop the cover art for both, and what was dope was he gave credit to both, dropped records for both. Yeah, so that was dope. I appreciate that. But yes, here we go.
Somebody did this.
With that being said, Lizzo.
I didn't expect this. Out of all the people, I did not expect this from her. Of all people.
The block is hot.
Shit, man.
Man.
Did you read the article? Like, did you read all the stories and shit?
I read bits and pieces of it. And wow.
Yeah, I read the article, man. It's fucking nuts. This woman was literally pretty much abusing her power against them, literally yelling at them. This is the funniest part.
Describe to the, in case listeners don't know, who's them?
Former dancers that were, there were former dancers that played with, danced with Lizzo during her like tour. And they were also on her, what was her Amazon show called?
I don't know.
Yeah. I know I should have got that shit down. Lizzo, Amazon. I remember it. They're on the reality show. Watch out for the big girls. That shit. They were on that, and one of the contestants, and they were like background dancers. And they are filing a lawsuit against Lizzo for sexual harassment and abuse of power.
What kind of shit is that?
One of them was saying that they forced her, and also one of the background dancers, like the dance captain, she's pretty much trying to force the religion on her.
Wait, what?
You heard me. Forcing their religion, because she found out one of the dancers was a virgin. So then she was all trying to, like, she would point her out during rehearsals and like, oh, look at this pure soul. She's saving herself for the Lord and da-da-da-da-da. But she'll contradict herself and say, like, yeah, I had myself an oopsie earlier. And she'll talk about how she masturbated and shit like that and how she visualizes having hella cocks in her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was in the lawsuit.
Oh, yeah. What happened to your chest?
There's powerful niggardry at work here.
Then they talked about how Lizzo, I'm still laughing at this one, was mad that some of the dancers were out of shape and said that she literally fat shamed them.
Okay, so this is where I need clarification at, because on one hand it was like, okay, she's body shaming. Yeah. I understood that. Yeah. But then somebody else had made the mention of yes, she's body shaming, but she's body shaming the dancers because she was saying they weren't big enough.
Wait, big enough?
Right.
No, that's not what I read.
That's where the confusion came in, because I was like, okay, well, is she saying they're not small enough or is she saying they're not big enough? Which one was it?
What did the report say? The reports were saying she was making fun of one of the dancers' weight. Because she was pretty much saying that she was out of shape and that she was she was too fat. That's pretty much what it was. She was fat shaming them.
Well,
So I know what you're thinking. Don't say it. Guess who's going to tell
the lie? Somebody did this.
Space and opportunity.
So then I'm still reading this shit. So they also talk about how they're accusing her of taking her, when they were in Amsterdam, she took them to a strip club and they had no idea it was going to be a strip club. And she was forcing one of the dancers to touch one of the dancers' breast. And she told them she didn't want to do it, but she kept pressuring them to do it and shit like that. And then she'll laugh at them and fucking force one of them to fucking eat a fucking banana from a stripper's pussy hole and shit. I'm like, what the fuck?
What kind of shit is that?
And then it got to the point where she got so pissed off at some of the dancers that she said they were gonna do a re-audition. And Yeah, she was going to do a re-audition and have them, and it turned out to be a whole rehearsal that lasted for 12 hours, and they were just, like, extremely tired, and she said if she doesn't like none of, if she doesn't like what she sees, she was going to fire them. I was like, God damn, I guess, and one of the ladies said she was too scared to leave the stage because she had to go to the bathroom, but she ended up pissing herself because she was too scared to go. I was like, God damn. Then it got to the point where one of the dancers wanted to talk to Lizzo about how she didn't like how she was like talking to one of the dancers and shit. And then she got pissed off and threatened to beat her up and shit. Like she was cracking her knuckles and going over to her. Like she was like huffing and puffing and cracking her knuckles. And he's like, yeah, you lucky. You lucky. I was like, what the hell?
So here was my stance. Because again, it's allegations, serious allegations, but it's allegations. And it's like, okay, you want to see how it plays out.
Mm-hmm.
But then something, an incident from the past came to mind and it was like, oh no, I think she definitely did that shit.
What incident from the past?
It was the DoorDash incident. Remember when the DoorDasher, when she either she took the order or she screwed up the order. So yeah. Then she plastered all her information online.
I remember that.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh no, she definitely did that shit.
Yeah, she's got
a history of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then there was another moment, like an award-winning, I think it was an Oscar-nominated documentary person or an award-winning documentary director came out and said, oh yeah, I believe this because I was working on a documentary with her, and after 2 days working with her, I was fed up of her and I just left.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And another one of her former creative directors came out and supported the dancers. Like, yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
Then you have Beyonce at her concert, not saying her name and kept saying Erykah Badu's name over and over again. It was like Badu, Lizzo, Kelly Rose. But instead she kept saying Badu, Badu, Badu.
Right, which I think was out of spite for another situation.
What was the other situation?
Because Erykah Badu said that Beyonce was still in her style because of the damn top hats. And then everybody was like, Abraham Lincoln wore that shit first. What the hell are you talking about?
So Beyonce just kept saying Badu, Badu.
Yeah.
The way she said it was hilarious. Yeah, but and I guess Lizzo released a statement, but it still came out like on some. Oh, they still like, it pretty much came out like a backhanded like
right.
response, and right. she still took no accountability for it. And I was just like, God damn! And then I just went yeah. all the way. I went all the way back to that Laker game when she had her whole ass out. You remember that?
Yeah, it was Kobe's last game.
That wasn't Kobe's last game.
Oh, okay.
It was okay. Kobe was. I think Kobe was. Kobe was gone by then.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
No, I was mistaken. Yeah, she was, I don't even think, okay, yeah, no, she wasn't out by then. You're right. Yeah, no, that was, I try to forget that, but no, I'm constantly reminded of that. I don't know, that was weird how people defended that still. It was.
Or if Rihanna did that shit, you guys wouldn't be complaining, and they tried to fat shame us. It was like, no, it has nothing to do with that. It was right, just like this, wrong. No,
cover yourself. There's kids around.
Like, there's kids around. And then I remember she doubled down on it, and she sounded hella ratchet when she was doing it. And I was just like, that's not cute. Like, that's not right. cute at all. It's nothing to do with your weight. It's just you're not – that's not cute.
Right. And the thing it was like they kept bringing up different women. And I remember in particular in my mind it was like, well, you have Cardi B, for example, who's all over the place and making all kinds of music – and doing all this, and she's at Lakers games all the time, and she's fully clothed.
And so she's a stripper.
Right, so what's the excuse now?
Like, seriously. And it was just like, and they try to call us fat phobic for trying to get at her when she'd be doing some weird shit. Even for that DoorDash shit, people were still trying to call us out for that. Thank you for reminding me about that. I do remember that. And I was weird of her to do that.
And yeah, no, it was very, yeah, no, it's up her alley. No pun intended.
Allegations.
Yeah.
But no, and then what makes it even funnier is that there's a song that she did, and there was a video where she literally rapped that the lyrics were something about like something about her getting NDAs and shit, how she kicked people out and they got NDAs and she doesn't give a shit. She literally wrapped it. And I'm like, oh, wow.
And then that was when somebody had tweeted out and said, and y'all over here saying that she ain't a rapper. This is a perfect example. Look at her snitching on herself.
Just literally snitched on herself. I did not think that. And it's coming down. It's coming down so quickly, too. And I'm just like, whoa. Right. This is quick. Who did you piss off? Well, I know who you pissed off. But like, wow, you're a really terrible person. You know, she was just projecting. I just couldn't believe she was fat shaming motherfuckers. That was nuts to me.
Yeah,
she was projecting. She was projecting. But whatever.
It's nasty.
That is nasty. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers. Yeah.
Going over to sports real quick. Yeah, as you say, thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers continue to go to Bronny James. As he recovers from the cardiac arrest that that occurred while he was at practice at USC. Fortunately, it looks like he is recovering. Mm-hmm. And the news that did come out was that while it was cardiac arrest, it wasn't a heart attack. There are different levels to cardiac arrest. And while the information wasn't in depth, the information that was given was, the cardiac arrest that he endured, it wasn't heart attack. So, you know, that's it's always positive.
I woke up to that news. Like, what the fuck? That was nuts.
Yeah, because it brings back memories. I don't know if you're familiar with his name, but it brings back the memories of Hank Gathers. You always hear that name in college basketball.
Vaguely.
Yeah, Hank Gathers was a basketball player who I always forget the school name. But it was a team that was a run and gun type style, and then he legitimately collapsed on the court and died. And you know, you think about how much, and nowadays kids are, it seems like they don't even take breaks in sports anymore. Like they play for the schools, and then as soon as they get done playing for the school, they go out and they play for organized teams outside. And it's just you know. But then you see some other things going on too, and it's like, okay, why are we even having this conversation? Like, you see the other people taking it to conspiracy theories and
the whole vaccine shit, right?
Right, and it's just like, why are we having this conversation right now? Like, really? Like, you don't use this for propaganda? Like, come on, man.
Yeah, you know they will. You know how the collective are sometimes.
Right, the same people that are talking about, well, it's because of this why he had cardiac arrest. It's the same people that won't stop eating at the drive-thru and clean up their diet, but they got everything to say about health. I was like, man.
Same motherfuckers that saw Jamie Foxx and still said, even though he made a whole video talking about how he's happy to be alive and all that other shit, it was a heartwarming message. And they're like, oh, look at his face. He doesn't look the same. They cloned him. Wait, what? Yeah.
Oh, speaking of that, I did watch They Clone Tyrone.
Oh shit! Did you like it?
I did, and I did catch the message.
Well, you did.
Yeah, it was good.
Mm-hmm. I love that damn. That's one of the best movies of the year. I really wished I saw that shit in the movie theaters.
Yeah, no, that was a pretty good film, and
the soundtrack is better. You should listen to the soundtrack when you get a chance.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know they had a soundtrack. I'll check that out.
Yeah, they had a soundtrack. Yeah, but go on.
One thing I will say though is that I'm very cautious about chicken deals now. I'm very alert. Like as soon as I got done watching it, all of a sudden Popeyes had six different ghost pepper wing flavors, and I was like, "Ooh, you ain't gonna catch me." I just watched They Clone Tyrone.
Yeah, fucking Kaz put out a Kaz had a. I saw one of Kaz's threads, and he was just like, "Yeah, I was in the middle. I was about to be in the drive-thru for Popeyes, and then I thought about They Clone Tyrone, and I just U-turned the fuck out of there."
Yeah, like, no, you're not gonna catch me.
Oh yeah.
There's powerful niggardry at work here.
Then it made me start thinking even more, like, what was really in that first batch of sandwiches?
I still cannot believe that shit. I still can't believe that happened right before the pandemic. That was a year before the pandemic happened.
Right.
We can't even talk about the pandemic. We can't even talk about the pandemic. This was the pre-pandemic. It was those chicken sandwiches. That shit was nuts. And I feel like I was the only one who was immune to it because I liked it. I was like, it's good, but I ain't going to go out the way for this shit. It was, that shit was nuts. Niggas.
Yeah.
This motherfucker's clone Tyrone. Clone.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, no, overall, I liked it. It was a good film. I enjoyed it.
The ending was genius. I love the ending.
Yeah, definitely was.
Yo, Tyrone, is that you?
Yeah, but, back in sports, man, you want to talk about disrespect. As we're approaching the brand new NFL season, especially, because we're a few hours away as we're recording. We're a few hours away from the Hall of Fame game.
Yay.
The disrespect for – is the running back the new fullback?
Oh, they – shit, man. I don't know what's going on. Why don't they want to pay running backs no more, bro?
I don't know, but shit, you got Saquon Barkley, who him and the Giants, he just was like, fuck it, I'm not signing the franchise tag, but let's just do a 1-year deal so I could just get out there. He went for a 1-year deal. Josh Jacobs and the Raiders, the crazy thing is Josh Jacobs just changed his jersey number, and they're at the table now, and they're like, all right, well, we can come back to the table and we could try to figure this out. And then you got Jim Irsay saying, like, I could die tomorrow. I could die today.
Wild, but he didn't want to trade what's going to happen.
But Jonathan Taylor, he's still going to be here like he was at Home Improvement. And it was like, what the fuck?
That was some old slave master shit. Like, wait, what? The fuck are you talking about? And they all talk about Christian McCaffrey. And Miss Christian McCaffrey's like, hey, man.
Christian McCaffrey was like, hey, man, all I'm doing is I'm trading memorabilia for some snacks. Leave me alone.
Leave me alone, man. Leave me alone. I'm just a white boy. Why are you going to say fuck me for?
it's really got you questioning, like, damn, what's going on with the running backs in the game now?
Does the league not want to pay? I mean, the league just feels like running backs are just passe. They want to overpay wide receivers now and shit. They want to be more exciting.
Now you got to look at the effect too of, I'm not saying this to put blame on this type of player or this player because it's not his fault, but you have to look at the prototype of a Deebo Samuel. Okay, so can we get one type of player where, you know, again, Deebo, he had his holdout where it was, you know, if you're going to utilize me here, I want to be compensated for all these type of roles. And are the organizations now looking at it like, okay, we'll pay you for that, but we're not going to pay the other guy to just simply come out of the backfield and do that now.
Yeah.
Because then you examine the rest of the league too, and you think about it, okay, well, how did DeAndre Swift end up leaving the Lions and going to the Eagles? Mm-hmm. He was up for contract extension or what have you, and all of a sudden now he's gone. And the Lions didn't even seem to miss because their pick in the draft put him right in position. Not only did they get rid of Swift, but they got rid of the backup running back, Williams, who's now with the Saints.
Wow, they got rid of him too? Shit.
Yeah, and they went and they drafted a whole new running back who's now who was the number two running back in this year's draft.
Maybe they're thinking that like running backs are like literally the turnover rate is really high, so there's no point really giving them like that high ass contract, I guess.
Well, yeah, because you look at the life expectancy, again, it's the whole situation of when you turn 30. So they're looking at it from the standpoint of, well, if we could just get what we can get throughout the rookie contract.
Fuck it.
Let's get it. Because I'm going to throw out some names that are shocking to you. Kareem Hunt and Leonard Fournette are still free agents right now.
Kareem Hunt's still a free agent right now?
Let me throw out the one name that is still a free agent. Dalvin Cook is still a free agent right now.
Dalvin Cook is still a free agent?
Yes. And I know.
And how old is he?
Dalvin Cook is 25.
And you tell? Does he want like hella money or something? Like,
I mean, he wants to be compensated, but he was the top running back.
You tell me, damn, Dalvin Cook, and you tell me Kareem Hunt, like Kareem Hunt that was on the Browns, he has not gotten picked up.
No. And I mean, I know we make fun of this player because of his association, because of the team he was on, but Ezekiel Elliott still being a free agent, that's still shocking to me.
That's not shocking to me.
I mean, it's shocking to me because you think of all the guys that, like, you're telling me he doesn't fit anywhere as a backup?
Yeah.
Like some of these names, I'm not. It's not even about starting. It's just like, you mean to tell me you can't use these guys as bodies and as veterans? Like,
I think they're going to get picked up before the season. At least some of them are going to get signed. I can see Ezekiel Elliott probably on maybe the Seahawks or the Cardinals, maybe. Maybe. I can see, man, Kareem Hunt. That's still wild to me, Kareem Hunt not signed. That's wild. He was just playing last year, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was with the Browns.
My God, and no one picked him up. I did not know that. That's nuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. The running back, man. The running back, they saying the running back, damn. Remember, once upon a time, there was a fullback in the game. And now the running back don't get me wrong, the running back is, they're still going to be a back in the game. But the way they're being treated right now, it's
wild. That's disrespectful.
Yeah.
Like, send Kareem Hunt to the Bears or something. Or, wow, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott not getting, well, Ezekiel Elliott, I can see, because he's injured a lot and he's old, and I can understand why he ain't getting picked up. But Dalvin Cook has not gotten picked up. That is nuts. That's nuts. And we're crazy, on. Right? And we're getting this close to fucking the season opening and no one wants to sign them?
Right.
That is disrespectful.
Again, the unofficial season kicks off in a few hours. So, you know.
Yeah, we'll see. Because training camp's going on right now. Niner fans, I'm looking like on my timeline of training camp for the Niners, and everyone's just losing their mind. If they're on Trey Lance and Brock Purdy watch or whatever, and I'm just like, I guess. And your Raiders, from the reports I saw, they're saying your boy Jimmy G got into it with Crosby, and Jimmy had to let them know the G is not silent. And
I don't care about that.
I know, it's just funny.
I want to see if he throws over 40 yards.
Yeah,
ain't gonna be none of them throwing 10 yards and, you know, saving you. Devontae runs down the field, throw it down there.
And there's a rumor that Devontae.
Nah, it was proven not to be true. He came out. He already said no. That's not okay. Happening.
Well, yeah, he ain't gonna go back to Aaron. Like I said, I'm curious about the Jets, but not really, because I just want to see how far they're gonna go. Either they're gonna be like the Nets. Either it's gonna be great, they're gonna be great, or it is gonna be a disaster.
Well, the funny thing is since we last recorded, we were talking about who we thought would be good to go on the next season of quarterbacks. And then they came out and announced it, and it's all the New York quarterbacks, which I thought was interesting considering Hard Knocks is the Jets. So I was like, okay, I guess.
It came out that report was fake.
Supposedly. Oh, it was? Okay. All right.
Yeah, that report was fake. It would have been nice, but that report's fake because Peyton Manning did an interview and he was talking. I think he talked to Pat McAfee or whatever, and he was saying that originally he wanted Jalen Hurts to be on. He wanted Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, but Jalen Hurts said nah.
And Jalen Hurts turned him down. Lamar Jackson turned him down. Basically, all the majority of the black quarterbacks were like, "Look, we already catching enough heat. We don't need you."
Patrick Mahomes was like, "We don't need you enough."
Yeah.
Lamar
Jackson, Jalen Hurts was like, "We don't need you to catch us what we listen to in the locker room, so we're good."
Yeah, but he said after the first season aired, like on Netflix, he said all the quarterbacks are hitting them up now. He's like, all of a sudden, he's just like, "Oh, okay, now you want to? Okay."
But sometimes you got to see if it's safe. You got to test the waters.
Yeah, but he still said Jalen Hurts still doesn't want to do it. So I'm just like, I mean, I guess I get it.
Gotcha.
So we'll see that.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think before we get into some closeouts, got to send some rest in pieces.
Man.
Rest in peace to Tony Bennett, who passed away at the age of 96. He was a famous jazz and pop singer in his day.
Lady Gaga kept his name alive the same way Hit Boy kept Nas's name alive. Mm-hmm. Dead ass. Got him another Grammy.
Yeah. Rest in peace to Sinead O'Connor, who passed away. How do you pronounce it again? I'm sorry.
I thought it was Sinead O'Connor.
Thank you. Sinead O'Connor. It's not, no disrespect. I didn't follow her career like that. I just put it on because you had it on the notes. But I know her obviously because of Nothing Compares to You, which was written by Prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like her biggest, that was her biggest record and shit like that.
Yeah.
And I knew her because I saw her on MTV a lot. I remember when she was on SNL and she pretty much sang like this song in a cappella and tore up the picture of the Pope and said some shit, but everyone was like, what the fuck? And she's kept it real for the majority of her career. She was only 56 years old. And I didn't follow her career like that, but I just knew the impact she made, like, especially in the 90s. So, yeah. rest in peace to Sinead O'Connor. And I have a friend story.
Rest in peace to Paul Rubens. Man.
Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, most famous for Pee Wee Herman. This one was a surprise to everybody because we found out all in real time that he was privately battling cancer for 6 years.
And he wrote a note the day before he died when he knew it was like it was almost time. He said,
I got it right here. He said, "Please accept my apology for not going public with what I've been facing the last 6 years. I have always felt a huge amount of love and respect for my friends, fans, and supporters. I have loved you all so much and enjoyed making art for you." Crazy, man. Dead at 70 years old.
70, man. He didn't look 70. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And a funny thing is, Pee Wee used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid. I don't know why. So he looked like a damn serial killer to me. Him and Ernest. You remember Ernest? Yeah. Big ass teeth and shit. Like, they scared the shit out of me. But then when I got older and I saw Pee Wee's Big Adventure, I'm like, he's funny. You know, he's a funny motherfucker. Then I saw his other movies and I saw him when he was on Raw a few times and shit. And he did like a little comeback movie in 2016. And yeah, man. And he was in other movies too. He was in Blow. He was in Mystery Team.
I remember Mystery Men.
Yeah, Mystery Men. Yeah. And he's always Pee Wee Herman. Paul Rubens will always be Pee Wee Herman to me. Always.
And the inspiration for Eminem.
Yeah, and people tried to downplay his shit, but I ain't gonna get into that crap. But yeah, shout out, like, rest in peace to Paul Rubens. Now, this one was legit shocking to me. This next death that happened, this was legit shocking to me because my homegirl, like, texted to me, and I was at work, and I literally yelled, "What the fuck?" And Angus Cloud, aka Fez from Euphoria, Oakland's very own, passed away at the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
Family does not say what happened to him, but I guess we probably have a pretty good idea what happened because he's been struggling with his mental health. And I guess the day before or a few days before, he buried his dad and he's been really struggling with it. And yeah, he passed away at 25. And he was a fan favorite from Euphoria. The Bay Area backed him tough because he was just a regular ass dude. You know, he said how he got the role from Euphoria. He was literally just walking the street with his boys, and then some dude ran up on him and was just like, "Hey, you have a look. You look good. You want to be on a TV series?" Okay. And that's how he got the role. Just like that.
Yeah, I've been on this show many times that I haven't watched Euphoria.
Mm-hmm.
But I went and did some research on him because, you know, you definitely feel for him. And then learning, oh, wow, he was a fellow pedestrian like us. In learning about his background, I didn't know that he actually, when growing up, he went to the Oakland School of Performing Arts with Zendaya. So they were actually classmates.
Oh, wow.
At the same time. Huh. And knowing that, you know, again, he grew up here in Oakland. And yeah, that story about how he ended up on Euphoria, it was like, yeah, that he was one of us. That's how that usually happens.
The way he talked like some dude I probably would have kicked it with in Oakland. Like, he was literally like a pedestrian, but like, you could tell.
Yeah, you know? It's unfortunate. And actually, when it happened, like, again, I didn't have any, I didn't watch the show, so I didn't have any, attachment to his character or even him. But in seeing the outpour and the cry and the condolences, I don't know. It brought back memories to Mac Miller.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to describe it. That's a good comparison.
Yeah.
Perfect comparison, actually.
Yeah. Very, very unfortunate. So definitely want to send condolences to his loved ones and the community of supporters, and definitely to everybody's loved ones and community of supporters, to everybody that we mentioned who passed away.
Yeah, what's even more sad is that his character on Euphoria, it ended on a cliffhanger. That's the fucked up, like, his character ended on, like, what happened to his character is that his character got into it with the cops and shit like that, and had a shootout which killed his brother, and it left his character's, like, aftermath open-ended, and it was like a cliffhanger, and I'm like, oh damn. And yeah, man, that's a damn shame, man. But rest in peace to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, notes I have before we get up out of here. So we'll talk about Sinead O'Connor. Rest in peace to her and how she wrote for Prince. I have some notes on here about Prince that I just want to laugh at. And I just can't believe this really. I was watching a YouTube video of a dude breaking down Prince's discography and shit, right? Mm-hmm. And I sent it to you. I sent it to your mom because it was over 2 hours. And he literally laid out like all his albums that dropped. And then he got to Batman, the Batman soundtrack that he did. And he left this little nugget. I had to rewind it just to make sure I just heard this shit correctly. The original plan for the Batman soundtrack was that it was going to be a concept album, and it was going to be a collaborative album between him and Michael Jackson. And Michael Jackson was going to do the ballads, because he was going to be the hero. He was going to portray the hero. He was going to do the ballads, while Prince was going to be the villain slash Joker, and he was going to do all the upbeat shit. And I just sat back, and I'm like, how the fuck was that going to work? What?
It was going to be Michael Jackson saying, have you seen my childhood? And then Prince saying, I killed your parents.
Somebody did this.
That's how that's gonna go.
And apparently it didn't happen because Michael had to go on tour and Prince did the soundtrack anyway, but oh shit.
Yeah.
I killed your parents. That's the end of the song.
Yeah.
Go back to the next record. Then one other thing about Prince is mostly about Dr. Dre. He did an interview with Kevin Hart. And Kevin Hart brought up the time about how he had a chance to do a record, to produce a record for Michael Jackson and Prince and Madonna. And he chose not to because he felt that it, you know, those are just legends and he felt he couldn't do it. And I was just like, wow. And then I think I was talking about it with somebody and we were just saying some shit about how Dr. Dre is a control freak. And he knows that he couldn't control somebody like Michael Jackson or Prince to telling them how to re-sing a lyric over and over and over again.
Oh, yeah.
He would sort of they said, yeah, Prince would have just walked out. Prince would have walked out.
Prince would have walked out before he hit the door. He looked at him like, you know you're not a real doctor, right?
And then Michael would have been real nice about it. He would have just been like, yeah, it's nice how you're doing the same thing over and over again. It's the most simplest thing, but you keep doing it over and over again. I like how you do that. You say it very calmly, but
yeah.
I like how you do this. The most simplest thing. It takes you like hours to do. Yeah, I like that. The fuck? Fuck you doing, nigga? Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting. And yeah, Ellie Wilson calls out Drake for not doing rap platforms. Yeah. What do you think about that shit?
I'm not okay. Here's the thing. I get what Elliot Wilson is saying in some instances. But I'm not mad at the overall climate of interviews.
Just the new wave of interviews now?
Yeah, because I'm sorry. I don't want to hear serious interviews all the time. Like I think hip hop is like hip hop's got so many rules in terms of what we can do, what we can't do, and when you make records like this, you have to present it in so many serious ways, and you can only talk about your art in this way. And it's like, fam, why? I should go sit down. I should go talk. You know, however I want to talk. Like, what does it matter?
Yeah, I just think it's. I knew what Elliot Wilson was trying to say because Drake hasn't done an interview with a real hip hop platform in a long time since his Rap Radar interview. And I guess hip hop wants to hear more, you know, stuff on Drake or whatever, because Kendrick does interview. Well, shit, I take that back. Kendrick did an interview with Rolling Stone. J. Cole kind of does interviews with hip hop platforms. Like he doesn't talk to us. And I knew what Ellie Wilson was trying to say, but didn't really work out. And fucking even like what's his name? Drake even dissed Elliot Wilson on Instagram saying, wow, you're doing run-up interviews. You're doing Yes Jewel, what run-up interviews? Like, yeah, this is the young sport now. And I was just like, all right, man.
Yeah, no, but, I understand what he was saying. But the thing is, too, with Drake is Drake also produces these interviews, too. So it's not like, so you go to the hole in the wall. As long as Drake's involved, he's still, the team's going to tell you what you can and can't ask. So it's not going to be like, okay, we got the interview for the culture, so we're going to be able to ask him exactly what we want to ask him. Like, it's still going to be a Drake-produced interview. So,
I mean, shit, no matter where it goes. You know, exactly. They're going to edit it down, and they're gonna, even if you do ask that question, they're just going to edit it out, and it's not going to come out. So,
right.
You know, it just is what it is on that point. Like, at first, I felt the way I was just trolling along, but now it's just like, who cares?
Yeah.
And one final note, Spotify released their most streamed rap songs, their top 50. Mm-hmm. And these stats, pretty much out of the, all of it, the most, like, who has the most songs on that top 50 is Eminem and XXXTentacion. They have the most songs. Like, Eminem has like 7 and XXXTentacion has 8. Which is nuts.
Did you watch that fight?
I mean, Eminem, I understood. I didn't know what was crazy about M shit is that they were from 3 different decades, from all different decades of his career. That's what on his top, on the top 50, which is nuts. And XXXTentacion, I understand, because he had a solid fan base. Like, he has like a, he had a huge core fan base.
Yeah.
And yeah, Megan and Cardi were the only femcs on the list, not Nicki. Which that was shocking to me.
It's kind of shocking. I need to go and look at that list. That's actually pretty shocking.
Yeah, like it's just WAP. That was the only record. These are the most streamed songs on Spotify. I thought Nicki would have been on there at least once. But yeah. Damn.
I got 2 notes to end on before we get out of here and say our close out. Number one, round of applause, Force, September 1st.
Yes, sir.
Season 2 is coming back. Number 2, what I need for you to do for me before the next episode, I need you to open up the Stars app.
Okay.
And I need you to search the movie The System. And I need you to press play and watch it.
I don't like that.
And I need you to understand the depths of a film that includes Tyrese, Terrence Howard, and Lil Yachty Go.
I heard about that.
Just please watch it. Please. Please be prepared for the next episode, because I actually want to do a deep dive on this.
You want to do a deep dive?
Yes, it's very important. I can't contain myself from laughing, because it's just, I remember sitting next to Britt last night just, what the hell are we watching?
See, we only open the Stars app just to watch Power. Do you think we watch movies?
But there's so much more. And then I watched it and I was like, why is this not on Tubi?
Okay.
Yeah, The System. Everybody else, please go watch The System before the next episode, please.
Open up the Stars app. I was like, open up the Stars app. Ain't no Power.
Yeah, you'll understand just how much Tyrese needs. You'll understand why the Fast and Furious needs to survive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, I watched the Ninja Turtles shit the other day. Well, yesterday, actually, the new one. It was good. Wait for it on Paramount Plus. And then I went home and watched and rewatched the first live action one. And that shit aged like fine wine. The first live action.
Yeah, we're about to. I'm about to start up. I got the original cartoons on Apple TV, so I'm about to start that up with Giannis pretty soon.
And I think the original original cartoons ain't on Paramount Plus, which is kind of shocking.
They're nowhere. You have to buy them off. iTunes. Yeah.
Oh, that's nuts.
Yeah, they're nowhere. But I've had them in the tuck for years.
I feel it. Yeah, but on that note, this is episode 300. Wow.
Yeah.
300 of these things, man.
Salute.
Fucking nuts. Salute to you.
I wish I would have found the Sparta soundbite now that I'm thinking about it, but oh well.
Nah, fuck it.
Yeah.
this Sparta!
Give me a hell, yeah!
Seeing that in a trailer is fucking like, kicked that man in his chest.
Yep.
In slow motion. I saw that in the trailer, and I'm like, yep, I'm going to give it all the money. Yep.
I was in high school, and I was like, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
This is real cinema.
Zack Snyder, man. And then he tricked everybody. Zack Snyder fooled y'all.
Yeah, he sure did. Sure did.
Well, you can hit us on Twitter. I guess.
Jack called it Twitter. We're calling it Twitter.
Or Twitter.
But you know, before you go, I'm sorry to cut you off one more time. You know what is funny, though, is Giannis is at a point now where he's putting his arms up like this with the X. So every morning I go, put up the X.
I haven't even updated my Twitter because I know when I update it, it's just going to turn to X. So
yeah,
I haven't updated it. So as long as that shit lasts, it's still Twitter to me.
I don't care what the symbol is. It's Twitter.
Like, I don't know what he expects. This motherfucker's going like, oh, this is going to be just like WeChat. You could do your finances. You could do your banking. You could do this and that. And your emails and everything. And I'm like, so you're talking about the internet. That's what you're talking about. You're talking about the internet, you stupid fuck.
Yeah.
That man's an idiot. But yeah, hit me on Twitter at MrBusby4, lowercase 08. You can follow us on Twitter or the X. At Theological SP. You can follow us on Instagram at Theological Sense. And of course, on the Facebook.
Give me a hell yeah!
And on all social media, you can find me at JC No Honey. Oh boy. Football season's almost here. I'm very excited.
You got your fantasy ready yet? On fantasy draft?
Oh no, we don't do that yet. We don't do it. We got to wait because all the injuries be stocking up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fuck yeah. Yeah, Joe Burrow went down.
Yeah, he's down for a few weeks, and then I forgot the wide receiver on Denver. He's done for the year. Tore his Achilles.
Aw, damn. And then what's his name? Jalen Ramsey. He was a quarterback. He went down.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey, just fresh from signing or getting traded from the Rams. He's done till December at the very earliest. Like,
they'll say December? Nah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, no. Nah, we don't do no drafts until we finish preseason. Those are the reasons why.
I'm out of luck, man.
Yeah, football season is right here. Like I said, usually I wouldn't be excited for the Hall of Fame game. But again, being a brand new father, these things excite you because it's like, oh, okay, cool. I get to turn the TV on. This is Giannis's very first football game he gets to see in live action.
Whackness.
Yeah, you know, but some whackness, but action nonetheless.
And true, NFL, like 6 months. It's been 6 months since we've watched an NFL game. And it's just like, give us anything at this point.
Right. So, just kind of gauge his, see what he does. You know, he's not going to watch the whole thing. You know, he's just shy of 3 months. So,
hell, you're not going to watch the whole thing because.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, just watch and just see how he gauges his interest just enough. And the countdown's here. So I'm excited. Hey, hey.
Yeah. And on that note, we are out this bitch.
Yes, sir. Oh, but before we go. Thank you all for rocking with us.
Thank you for 300 episodes, man.
Yeah, for sure. That's we don't take this for granted. There's been that's a hell of a journey. That's 300 over 7 years. That's crazy.
That is nuts, man. And we've been consistent. It keeps us sane. Yeah. for everyone that listens, man, this shit keeps us sane, man.
Man. I appreciate you, Busby, as my brother, for helping set it up and. This round of applause is for you and round of applause for all the listeners who have stayed consistent with us and everything. Thank you guys.
Even when we take breaks and come back, you guys are still there listening. So I appreciate that. I do appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. You've been through us since how many co-hosts? Two co-hosts? Few guests? Fuck it. We here.
And a whole pandemic.
And a whole pandemic. Damn, we did that shit during a whole damn pandemic. Yeah. During a race war, an election, Endgame, Game of Thrones, power.
What else? A move.
A few moves.
Yep.
From Cleveland to LA. Whatever you niggas want to know. Shit, we went through how many? We reviewed three Drake albums, 4 Drake albums, I think.
Oh, no, it's got to be more.
No, we reviewed Scorpion. That was the first one.
No, it wasn't.
No, it was More Life. That was the first one. Yeah. That was the very first one. Yeah, More Life.
It was definitely more.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah, I think he's the artist we reviewed the most. I think he is. Like, out of all, because he's dropped the most.
No, the whole year. It's definitely got to be Currency.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, Currency. Yeah. Currency, yeah, it's Drake and Currency. I think those are the only two we reviewed the most when it comes to their music.
No, it's just Currency by far definitely is the most reviewed artist on this podcast. It's just not to the same level of
Of that shit. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
True. And we only reviewed like 2 Jay-Z albums, 444 and The Carters. Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
Yep.
But yeah, man, thank you all for listening in. I appreciate all y'all. And we ain't going nowhere. We're going to keep this shit rocking.
Yep.
Probably when Giannis is in college, I'll be some shit. We'd be old as fuck.
That'd be wild.
See how podcasts has evolved since then, because a lot of you motherfuckers do not deserve podcasts. I can tell you that right now. A lot of y'all niggas do not deserve it. But we do. So, on that note, for real, we out this bitch.
Yes, sir.
Peace.
Peace.